podcast.ph can be downloaded for free on iTunes by typing podcast.ph programs. You can also listen on Podomatic, Spreaker, Stitcher, Clamor, YouTube, and our official URL, podcast.ph. Like and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Google+. Podcast.ph, the most active and fastest-growing podcast network in the Philippines.
Can you adjust the frequency and volume a bit?
Startups, originators, música, cultura, the arts, política, sports, news, technology, crime, tragedy, comedy, lahat ng makabuluhan.
We are your independent podcast content creator, straight from the Philippine Islands. Mabuhay.
You're listening to podcast.ph.
Welcome to the 67th episode of Martin's Man Cave here on podcast.ph. My name is Martin Andanar. Once again, you can download us for free on iTunes. Just type podcast.ph programs. You can also go straight to our official website, which is podcast.ph, or check out the other podcast platforms, Spreaker. We're also on Stitcher. And we are also on podomatic.com. Our guest today is a Filipino fashion designer, magazine editor, film director, producer, businessman, shoe and jewelry designer. He became famous in the 1960s and 70s for his classic Filipino terno, or Philippine terno designs. He was a favorite designer of socialites in Manila. Christian Espiritu is the man that I'm talking about. His followers gave him the title Valera of Parañaque in reference to him being placed in the same league as National Artist for Allied Arts, Ramon Valera. His rise in the fashion industry was meteoric. In fact, he quickly equaled the fame of Ben Ferrales, Pitoy Moreno, when he entered the fashion industry in the 50s. Later on, he would mentor Ino Soto, Gang Gomez, Joji Lioren, and Dom Martin Gomez. He was born on January 4, 1934 in Parañaque. His parents are Eugenio Espiritu, who was an elementary teacher, and Felicula Espiritu, who was into embroidery. Christian has six siblings, namely Amelia, Antonio, Agnes, Renato, Maris, Christian, and Edwin. Christian went to St. Andrews for elementary and high school, and moved to USD for college, where he took up architecture. He's married to Glee Limcalco, and they have four children, namely Paul Christian, Julina, Talitha, and Justin Christian. Ladies and gentlemen, Christian Espiritu, thank you so much for allowing me to document your life, sir, here in podcast.ph.
I hope it would be a pleasure.
Please tell us the story of your parents first.
Well, they are small town guys. You know, they were also born and raised in Parañaque. Mm-hmm. My father was a very industrious school teacher, and when we were growing up, I remember, anywhere we go, any corner of Parañaque, we'll be greeted by guys who'd say, "Teacher ko ang daddy mo." You know, during that time, daddy is not a word yet. Among, you know, that's how we call our dad. So it was a very useful tool. You know, the reputation of your parents, you know, like, can help you a lot. Uh-huh. When I would pronounce the name of my dad, doors will open automatically. So, when I was working hard, I was hoping the same thing could happen to my children. To some extent, it did. And, you know, all four of them, they have, you know, different persuasions. Mm-hmm. So they have different careers to follow. One is a teacher. Mm-hmm. One is a broker. One is also an editor. And the other one is a professor in a very prestigious university in America. The name of the university is Wheaton in Providence.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about your mother?
My mother is a simpleton. I remember, you know, like when I was growing up, I would read Li Wai Wai and things like that. Now, while she's doing embroidery, I would read to her the itutuloy, uh-huh, ang kabanata nito sa isang linggo and things, uh-huh, like that. Mm-hmm. But she's very industrious, mm-hmm, and what she makes in the embroidery business halfway sent us to college, all seven of us. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like, I'm not trying to dishonor my father, but how much can you make in being an elementary teacher during those days?
Yeah. Your mother was into embroidery, and mm-hmm, I am assuming that she is your influence.
You could say that, you know, like, before I could recite the ABC, mm-hmm, I could already run a Singer sewing machine. Because, you know, like, that's what you see day in and day out, you know, like, our house in Parañaque, it has the traditional silong, mm-hmm, and the whole silong is lined up with all of these embroiderers. So I have seen what they were doing. And it greatly influenced me because halfway through their, you know, like right after the liberation, they ventured into ready-to-wear. Uh-huh. They were supplying Burdick's department store and other store, uh-huh, in Manila. So parang, you know, of course, in like my brothers were very much against me meddling with all of these things, but I think even that early, I was already aiming to be a designer because, you know, like I had three sisters and I would make pakialam in their clothes, you know, like I would go to their modistas and supervise and things like that. And then, of course, it's to the consternation of my brothers because, you know, when I was growing up, you will have a name if you indulge in these things. Uh-huh. And definitely they don't like to have a brother who's like that. You know what I mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you deal with that? With that name that you were mentioning me, if you indulge yourself into...
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
Like, while I was still studying architecture in UST, you know, I would do watercolors, you know, like the sketches that you see in, uh-huh, foreign magazines. And then, you know, if I feel that they're good to hang, I will staple them on our wall, uh-huh, only for my older brother to remove all of them instantly.
Very annoying brother one. Very masculine.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they have that, you know, like...
Typical.
It was only when the likes of Pitoy, Ben Ferrales, when they became so accepted, mm-hmm, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Now, because, you know, like, they would put on fashion shows and, you know, like, in other words, they were revered, mm-hmm, during that time. So I became more encouraged. And then while I was in UST, I would often be caught by my professors. Instead of working on the plans that we're assigned, I would be sketching. And then, you know, pretty soon, all of my female classmates, Christian, i-drawing mo din ako, i-design mo din, and things like that. So, you know, like my professor said, Spiritu, what are you doing? You will not be an architect this way, you know. You attend to your, you know, to your plans and things like that. But then, so during those days, especially when I was already in my senior year, at the back of my mind, I will only please my dad. But I would rather be a fashion designer than be an architect.
Great. Tell me about growing up during those years after the war or the liberation years. You were born in 1934. So I'm doing my math. You were about 10 years old when when Manila was liberated from the Japanese. How was it living in Parañaque during those times?
Well, I saw how the Japanese took over. And then I had a brother-in-law who's from Bicol. And when the things in Manila are really getting so bad, he decided to bring his family to Legazpi in Albay. And since I wanted very much to see my own volcano, I begged them to take me along with them. And then, you know, like it coincided with the time when the Americans started bombing the Japanese installations because they were coming back. So when Manila was liberated, we were stranded in Legazpi because there was no transportation yet. And for us to be able to reach Manila, some people begged the Americans to take us with them to Manila. And we sort of sailed in this the ships where they have their ammunition and things like that. Mm-hmm. So we were on the deck, so that, you know, like when we were crossing Verde Island, there was a very strong typhoon that the water, you know, was, you know,
was going on board.
On board, yeah. And so all we could do was to hold on to the railings of the deck. It was really a harrowing experience.
When the Americans liberated Manila, it so happened you were in Bicol.
Yeah, in Bicol.
And with your family?
No. As I said, I was stranded with my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law. And the rest of the family were still in Parañaque. And then, you know, like when we were trying to find out what's happening there, and then, you know, we hear a gory story that in Manila only 10 people survived. So, you know, as a young boy, I would say, that's my dad, that's my mom, that's my brothers and sisters, the survivor. Well, anyway.
You must have been rejoicing when you got to
Parañaque. Of course, you know.
Like, hindi pala sampo, ang dami pala.
Oh, yeah. And there was so much crying, you know, and, you know, like, in jubilation because all of us were safe.
Growing up in a home where embroidery was the main livelihood. What ano yung embroidery nila, by the way?
Because during those days, a lot of companies in the States would send, you know,
textile
with patterns already, that all the people would do is to follow the instruction and embroider, and then once they're exported to the States.
Galing. Exporter pa lang nanay mo.
In a small way, you know, like in Parañaque, most household are doing the same thing. And, you know, there is one big family in Parañaque. Sila yung big time. In other words, like, the things that my mom would do are the things that are farmed out from this family.
So they're parang kinontractualize.
Something like that.
Something like that during those times.
Parang in Parañaque during those days, parang that's the home industry.
The cottage industry of Parañaque. And
they were very good because, you know, like in Parañaque during those, you know, early days, there were Belgian nuns and, you know, Belgian priests and Belgian nuns. And they were the ones who taught the rudiments of doing embroidery. So I'd like to say that, you know, of all the towns that did embroidery, it's Parañaque, it's very high class because they were mentored by these Belgian nuns. And, you know, the best laces are woven in Belgium for the longest time.
So if shoe is Marikina, Then embroidery, clothes, Parañaque.
Yeah.
Wow, sayang, no? Hindi siya na maintain, no?
No, what killed that business or that industry? You can earn so little because embroidery is a very tedious thing. And then so when they started doing factories like La Perla, cigarette was situated in Parañaque, nakuha nila lahat yung mga young girls and all this because they work 8 hours and they get paid while embroidery is sold.
Yeah, so ano, parang it's a meticulous work. No?
That's why when I was doing the ternos of Princess Marcos for the longest time, all of my embroiderers are recruits from Parañaque. I have more than 100 of them. And most of them now are dead. Because you know, during those days, you know, they were already lolas and
It wasn't passed on, the skill,
That's why, you know, I'm very, very proud to say that my stint with Mrs. Marcos were the golden years of my career as a designer. Because, you know, Mrs. Marcos can afford to absorb my ternos because she has the money.
That's why it's so expensive because of the embroidery.
That's why, you know, like a lot of people are asking if I could duplicate them now. Impossible.
Because they're no more.
They're all gone. They're all in heaven now.
The talents are already making clothes for Jesus. Meterno na sa taas. So well, hindi siya naipasa yung skill, industry
na yun. No, the problem there is who would want to work and be paid so little? Kaya nga, when I was doing the ternos of Mrs. Marcos, I was paying minimum, and during that time, minimum was only 4 pesos a day.
Uh-huh.
Now, do you know that seamstresses get as much as 500 up to 1,000 a day?
Mm.
And that's the reason why some wedding gowns now run in the millions. Because labor now is so expensive.
Yung mga gumagawa ngayon, the seamstresses that are into the ternos, the designers, saan nila nakukuha itong mga to kung hindi sila natuto dun sa mga nauna na?
Well, yun nga. Like me. During those days when I was working on those ternos, I was functioning like an artist. Except that instead of my own hand and brushes, my bordadoras are the ones doing it for me. Because I would show them the stitch, I would show them the colors and everything. That's why, I really regret that I didn't retain even some of them. Because, when the Marcoses flew to Hawaii, they were all sequestered and they were shown in the so-called Malacanang Museum. But they didn't know how to take care of them. Because you just don't hang clothes in a room and call it a museum. Clothes should be preserved with the right temperature, no dust and things like that.
So disintegrated.
Yeah. I could really cry because how I wish I could duplicate them now, but
it's impossible.
It's impossible. Siguro Ateno now will run into hundreds of thousands with 500 as minimum wage.
How many persons would be assigned to create Ateno of Imelda Marcos?
This is how I did it. The skirt, I would divide them into three. So all those three segments would be framed in big bastidor. They call it bastidor, Like you mount it there and you stretch it and they do the embroidery. Isipin mo na lang, let's say, kung ganyan skirt, lima dito, lima dyan. So 10 people na yon. And then the other two will be 20 people. So 30 people working on her just the skirt. So, you know, like I would make them work 24 hours, three shifts.
And how long? What was the deadline?
It takes weeks or months.
So say if the first lady has a function in the UK.
Yeah, she would be invited to China by Mao Zedong.
Uh-huh.
She will have to bring at least five of them because there would be several functions. You cannot expect Imelda Romualdez Marcos to be wearing one terno in five different occasions.
So five different ternos, and that would be designed and created months before the official travel.
No. But, you know, like my biggest problem is that I don't have enough lead time. You know, like I'll tell you, this is a very funny story. She was making a big hit in China. You see all the news about her meeting Mao Zedong and things like that. And then, so she was there, so I was able to rest. And then I was making love with my wife, and the phone rang. And then said, oh, what can I do for you? Sabi ko, alas tres na ng umaga dito sa atin. You have to gather your budadoras and start working because, you know, like 2 weeks from now, I'm headed for Japan. See how hectic, stressful my life has been.
My goodness. And that's just Imelda Marcos. What about the others?
No, you know, like what happened was during her reign, all the blue ladies and the other guys, they sort of shied away because they, parang, pagbigyan na natin, hayaan mo na si Imelda na lang ang asikasuhin niya. And, you know, pretty soon, all of my important clients, they will come to my atelier and they would see all of these frames of embroidery. So, you know.
Now, going back to the first design that you created, or the first terno or whatever cloth or a palda that you that you made, or
that's a great story. Yeah. I'll tell you
before you tell us the story, let's play one of your favorite songs. This is The Autumn Leaves by Nat King Cole. What makes this song a memorable song for you?
That one.
Well, yeah, what makes this song, what makes Autumn Leaves by Nat King Cole one of your favorite songs?
You see, during those days, songwriters put the biggest premium on the lyrics. Mm-hmm. Most songs during those days tell a story compared to all the noise that this punk make, no? And I feel, you know, that song is very romantic, you know, because, you know, like, and it has to do with fading. Mm-hmm. When you are already old,
the autumn
you're
leaves
like the autumn leaves
drift by the window.
Oh.
Let's play it.
Okay.
Here is Nat King Cole and Autumn Leaves. You're inside Martin's Man Cave. My name is Martin Adenar, and we are with the famous Christian Espiritu. Don't go away. The Autumn Leaves by Nat King Cole. We are with Christian Espiritu in his lovely home in the South. Now, back to where we left off. What was the first design or cloth that you created, and where was this?
Are we going back to the Mrs. Marcos
era?
No,
this is the first. This is the first talaga na ginawa mo, because mm-hmm. you were telling me that you would design. Ano yung unang ginawa mo? Damit.
Yeah.
At saan mo ginawa?
Mm-mm. Here, it's like this. My primary training in designing and executing, let's say, gowns or clothes and things like that. I think I've told you already, I had three sisters. So I would, you know, I let's say if my sister is going to attend a senior prom, things like that, I will be the one to design it. And then, you know, like, siempre, in a small town, you also have small town dressmakers. So they would order their gowns, and I would make sure that I supervise, because the modistas can only sew. They cannot, you know, they cannot think of anything beautiful or something like that. So that's my early training.
So you would go to a dressmaker, tapos sila yung gagawa nun, you will just say, oh, dapat yun to yan.
And then, you know, like my biggest break came via, there is this tradition in Paranaque, it's called Sunduan. Have you come across that? You know, like
no.
You see a long line of women dressed in ternos, and then the guys in barong will... You have seen that, Dante?
The umbrella?
Umbrella.
Oh, yes, I've seen it. You've seen it in paintings and things like that.
That's so, where I got my initial break.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, like, do you know that I even, instead of them knocking on my door, I would knock on the doors of, you know, some of the prominent families. I said, ako nang gagawa ng kanyang terno, ganyan-ganyan. That's how my talent was exposed primarily.
And you were still studying at the University of Santo Tomas when you were already you were already making clothes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kaya nagalit yung kuya mo.
Yeah, oo.
All right. You finish your college, your course at the USD, mm-hmm. your father was happy, and then you decide to open your shop.
Not immediately. For one solid year, I apprenticed with the great Lindy Loxin, the national artist in architecture.
Leandro Loxin.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I'm very, very, not to say, I should hope the children of Lindy will hear this, but I learned so much in terms of good taste and things like that, because, you know, like, there are so many gifted architects, but very, very few could match up the talent of Lindy Loxin. Iba-iba talaga siya. No, because, you know, like, most works of architects are very architectonic, but the works of Lindy Loxin is all good taste, you know. He knows the right colors and interiors and things like that. And I was very much exposed to it because, you know, like, Lindy had a big crew of designers. Some are working on working drawings, some are planning. And then, you know, like, with the talent I had or I have, he discovered that I could paint very well. So his perspective, ako lahat gumawa. You know, perspective is, you know, the drawing that you present to clients.
Ikaw gagawa.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
What a coincidence. In fact, we were talking about the Transfiguration in Bukidnon earlier because one of your students is already a brother in Dom, no? Don. This is Mr. Dom Gomez, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah.
Dom Martin.
Martin, yeah. The church there is the last design of Leandro Loxin.
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah, the church dun sa Bukidnon.
The first monumental project that they had was the UP Chapel, wherein the walls were painted by Vicente Manansala. And, you know, with that, everybody took notice, and that's how Mrs. Marcos discovered Lindy Loxin. So during the reign of Mrs. Marcos, all the buildings at the Cultural Center compound were all designed by Lindy Loxin.
And how long did you work for him? And when was the...
Barely 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, you decided to dip your fingers and dip your nose seriously mm-hmm. in the world of fashion.
I was, you know, like while working with Lindy, I was more encouraged to do it because our office, the apartment of Lindy Loxit in one of the, on Taft Avenue, below was windows. May mga dresses mm-hmm. on display. Mm-hmm. So parang ganun, nung pa, sabi ko, given the chance, I will really pursue. Because, you know, every time I would see the works of these mga famous designers, I knew that I would be better than they are.
How long did it take you to decide to really get into it? After graduation?
I graduated in 56. Mm-hmm. I opened my shop on Amabini in 59.
6, 7, 8, 9, 4 years.
Yeah.
And when you opened your shop in 59, sila ni Pitoy Moreno, they were already there.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, you know, like, they were all curious. They were saying, sino to? Sino itong Christian Espiritu kinopay pangalan ni Christian Dior? At that time.
Christian
so
Dior.
So, they one afternoon, a group of them, siguro, like, most of them are already dead, they barged into my shop uh-huh. and started, you know, making all the finished products you know, about to be collected by my clients. And all one of them said, nako, malaking kompetensya to. That gave me so much encouragement. I said, kita nyo na. Something like that.
And you became friends with them eventually, or you were already friends?
Casually, you know. Uh-huh. Because I would bump into them in the Divisoria, uh-huh. you know, where we get all the things uh-huh. that we use in making clothes. And then one of the biggest help I got, you know, when I was struggling during my salad days. Designers would angle to be featured mm-hmm. in magazines or newspapers. Mm-hmm. In my case, it's the other way around. Uh-huh. I would get strange calls, you know, from people I don't know, and then would ask, can we interview you? Can we take pictures of your clothes and things like that? And, you know, it spread like wildfire. So before I knew it, the likes of Sila Chona Kasten were already curious, and they would look at my window, and then like, you know, take the case of Chona Kasten. I had a very nice cocktail dress displayed, and I saw a car stop in front of my shop, and when the driver opened the car. It was Chona Kasten who alighted. And so I stood up from my desk and I welcomed her. I said, Mrs. Kasten, come inside. And she said, how did you know my name? Sabi ko, I read the papers. Siyempre, takang-taka siya, isang probinsyano, ba't kilala ako nito?
Oh.
And then I said, is there anything I can do for you? And then Chona said, I like the dress. Can I try it on? Sabi ko, ma'am, naka-aspi-aspili lang yan. Never mind, I want to see how it would look on me. And then so, I brought her to the fitting room, and then she tried on. I like it so much. Finish it for me.
That's the start.
That's the start. And then before I knew it, the likes of sila Elvira Manan, sino bang espiritu yan? Sino bang ano yan? Puntahan nga natin, tingnan natin kung anong talagang kumarunong talaga yan. And so Mary Prieto followed. She ordered a suit. And she was so happy. Kaya, you know, I'm telling all of these mga young designers, you don't have to participate in fashion shows. You do good jobs, and the happy customers will be the one to spread the word around. So before you know it, you know, the close friend of mouth, word of mouth. So there, you know, like in that same year, 1959, the likes of sila Amparito Liamas and sila Lali Laurel, they were all lining up for me to make junior, senior prom dresses for them.
You understood the power
Of the press?
Of the press, right from the very beginning.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is one of your secrets before. How you got into, how you were able to break into the market, because you understood that...
You know, my training in architecture was a very, very important aspect of my success. I was so lucky that towards the end of Amabini, there was this Guerrero Apartments. And the owner of that apartment is an architect. I cannot remember anymore his first name. And what he did with their ang mga apartments noon, hindi pa high rise. I think it only goes up to the fourth floor. But the ground floor, parang picture window yung ano. Kung ganito kalapad lang yung ano mo. May pintuan lang dyan, and then the rest is already a display window. And, you know, knowing perspective, color, and ano, I treated it like a painting. So I would have the mannequin dressed up, properly lighted. And then, you know, I was very inventive. During that time, the Canecalon wig was, you know, in the market. So I bought two sets of wigs. And then, you know, like my neighbor that is a beauty parlor, they would shampoo it and then would put there. And then when the light hits the hair, parang buhay na buhay yung manikin.
Talagang window merchandising before was a big, mm-hmm. was a big plus.
That's why, you know, like, and then some friends would tell me, "Uy, alam mo, Christian, ang dami-daming nanonood kagabi doon sa window mo." They were attracted. So they you know, wala namang aawat sa kanila. And then they would scrutinize what embroidery or what designs I have.
You studied the science of marketing from the perspective of the window itself. Alam mo yung ga- so it was all a science, even talking to the press. My goodness, this is such a revelation. It's very...
No, because, you know, like, I'm a degree holder. Uh-huh. It makes a whole lot of difference because yung mga... Diba, I mean, most of these are mga... No, they cannot even...
Speak.
Uh-huh. Or, you know. So, it wasn't easy for me to articulate on these things and... Mm. Yeah.
What was your inspiration when I... Talk about inspiration. Who were the other designers here and maybe abroad that inspired?
Of all the Filipino designers, the only one I bowed to was Ramon Valera.
Why?
It's really something else. Mm-hmm. All the rest, parang sabi ko, like, I would only bow to him, but not to any of these guys. Uh-huh. Because I could do better. That helped me a lot, that confidence.
Cuddling.
And then, of course, you know, with your confidence, it should be coupled with hard work. So that, you know, like, I don't have so many assistants. I would draw the designs. I would supervise the embroidery and things like that.
Wow.
So in 1959, I was my own houseboy. Because after all the Liliperas and the Costreras had left for home, I would stay behind. I would sweep the floor and things. I still could not afford to get a houseboy and things like that.
Whole brain rolled into one. Creative mind, genius in management. Very loquacious in a way that you could talk to just anyone and any person. You can, the drop of a hat, you can tell me a story. And reaching the stairs of Malacañang, even the bedroom of Imelda Marcos. Wow. Takes a genius to do that. Why did you and when did you decide to stop creating, to stop?
Well,
before you answer the question, Feelings by Al Martino. What is in the song of this feeling that makes everything around you nostalgic?
Well, we are all governed by our feelings. When things are so hard, you have your strength to fall back on. And maybe, you know, we were raised poor, so we had to do what's good for us and to share in the work at home. When I was a teenager, you know, like I was assigned to fetch because the water pressure in Paranaque is not so good. I would have this balde and fill it up with water and then climb up the ladder to bring it to the kitchen. So my mother or whoever is cooking will have water to use, things like that. Kaya parang sa akin, walang mahirap.
Let's hear it. Al Martino, Feelings. We're still with Christian Espiritu here inside Martin's Man Cave. My name is Martin Andanar. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Feelings.
We're now back with Christian Espiritu inside Martin's Man Cave. You just heard the music Feelings by Al Martino. We are recording this podcast in his own man cave in a very beautiful house in the South. The song Feelings, and right before we played it, made you teary-eyed. Why so?
It brought back memories of my struggling days. Life is one long high mountain to climb. And you miss a lot along the way. Do you know that when I was working so hard, and you know, as I said earlier, I would have 3 shifts a day. When I wake up, when I reach home, I would wake up the children. Of course, my wife hated it so much because it's so hard to put them back to sleep. But I said, you have to understand, I have to make up. For lost time.
But I'm sure they understand the lost time, and it's a story of successful people. You don't just become successful by sitting down. They say the early bird catches the worm, and that's what you did. You wake up early, you work hard, you go home late, and you miss a lot of people on the way up. But I'm sure the people that you missed because of lost time do appreciate and understand, and look at where you are right now, and your children are very successful, and that's a testament to how they appreciate the work that you've done. Now, when was the last time, or when did you decide, how did you decide to stop creating, embroidering, designing clothes? Meron bang turning point? Was the time when Imelda Marcos left the Philippines, flew to Hawaii, just, yeah?
In 1994, that was the time when I went into ready-to-wear, and I had a line of T-shirts and jeans and things like that. I wonder if you would remember, there is a chain of shops called XTN. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's my oldest son was the one who coined, because Christian is the man.
X.
X.
Yeah. XTS.
Yeah. One way of is X tapos Tian.
Yeah.
I said let's shorten it further. I said X tapos Tian. That should be enough. Mm. So all of my t-shirts were emblazoned with XTN in all versions. But then I soon discovered that going into that kind of like bands and all, it's not for me. But it's parang
you sacrifice a lot of art.
Yeah, not only that, you end up working for all of these department stores. I had several branches in Schumart, chain of Schumart. Sila lang ang kumikita. Because you know, like they charge you 20% on your gross, and then they issue post-dated checks, and then when you need the money, you will have to change it. I forgot anymore how it's called. They advance those post-dated, but discounted again. So ano ba ito, lokohan na lang yata ito. And then you know, like earlier I told you about my daughter who's in New York and never came back anymore.
You warned me not to send my daughter to New York.
Yeah. So I decided, why can't, you know, like, because the very, very first time I stepped foot in New York, again, my confidence. I said, ako ganyan lang pala dito. Pag ako na nakarating dito, I'll show them. But then when you have a family, you realize it's not easy to uproot your family, because I was raising four children, remember? And so in 1994, I said, I think I'm ready to conquer New York. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like, my daughter was having difficulty living with relatives, and he said, Dad, can you get me an apartment? I want to live by myself. I said, that's, you know, like, I don't think I'll be able to afford to rent an apartment for you, because, you know, like, and then, you know, I had a very, very close family friend who heard about my predicament and said, you know, Christian, you're crazy. You're sitting on a pile of money and you don't want to make yourself. So where is the money? I don't see any money here. I said, you have a big house in Forbes. Why don't you put it in the market? Once you are able to sell it, you'll be able to do everything that you want. And that's exactly what they did. So we got for us a very, it's a junior, how do you call it, penthouse on a high rise in Manhattan. On 72nd, between 1st and New York. So I said, I'll stay here and maybe I could impress. Because, you know, like, the condominiums will have showrooms and entertainment areas where you could put up shows and things like that. So, and then across Macy's, I found an old building wherein you could rent office spaces. So my first workroom was in one of those. Call it play bugs, because mga sira-sira na yung. And then I hired a handful of Pinays living in Jersey City to be my costureras. But I soon realized that after paying their wages, talo pa ako. So I said, oh, I'll close this shop na lang because, you know, the Filipinos abroad are very grateful.
Uh-huh.
You know, talagang tatawad-tawadan ka. And so, you know, like, I moved on to my apartment. And, uh-huh, you know, like, maniniwala ka ba? Tabas ko, tahi ko, burda ko, plancha ko.
Uh-huh.
So that, you know, like at one point, my daughter was with me. Siguro naawa siya. She's helpless, no? Kasi hindi siya marunong. Ano. Sabi niya, Dad, I'll keep you company. And we were talking up to 4 o'clock in the morning. Doon ko lang na natapos talaga na kay hangin kukuni ng kakasali.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we were able to talk and I soon discovered, oh, babalik na lang ako sa Pilipinas.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I ended up being here. Mm-hmm. Because wala na yung aking Forbes. Uh-huh. So I had to settle for Ayala naman.
And then you sold your apartment in New York?
Yeah, I did.
Uh-huh. So while you were in New York, your family was left here?
Half my family.
Half here, half
yeah,
there.
And then the ones who were staying here would visit me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. From Manila to New York and then back to Manila. Yeah. If you were to give us, or the not only fashion designers but people in general, an advice, what is your formula for a meaningful life?
Meaningful life.
That includes success in work, that includes relationship with family. What is your formula of a meaningful life in a way that when you go home, you go home with a smiling face and you leave your home to the office with a smiling face?
Well, you know, first of all, if you have a closely knit family, parang you can fight everything. You can, being with them, you know, to me, being with them is, that's the reason why I have this big house. Because I wanted all of them to be next to me. And of course, you know, like a lot of my relatives say, ikaw naman, why do you do that? You should allow them to be on their own. And sabi, you know, I mean, kanya-kanya kasi, di ba? Like, my, ano, it's while I'm still around, I'd like to be able to help them. I see a lot of families, they left so much, but what happens? Pag-aaway-away lang ng mga anak mo.
Mm.
So, I'd like to be able to help them when I'm still around, rather than leave a big pile and, you know.
You're gone.
Oh.
Pag-aaway-away lang.
Oh.
So what is your formula for success?
Hard work.
Hard work.
Yeah. And the vision. Mm-mm. But I could have been siguro more prosperous if my artistry did not interfere with commerce. Because, you know, like an artist tends to be very, very impractical. Fulfilling an artistic ambition is not synonymous to economic success. Sometimes you tend to, mabuti nga, of all the, I can proudly say, of all the Pinoy designers, ako lang may family. And if all of them had riches, my riches is my family.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have an apusatuhu downstairs who is turning 5 months on the 12th. Yun ang kayamanan ko na parang.
How do you feel when you see some of your contemporaries pass on sadly, leave exit the industry na parang walang natira sa kanila?
Well, most of them, inuna na nila yung good time. They preferred earthly pleasure than being established.
Be able to save and be practical. Mm-mm. And it's sad. No? It's sad that it's like that. Okay. Let's wrap up the interview. Sino yung pinaka malapit sa'yo na kapatid? And why?
The ones closest to me are no longer around. In the Philippines, we're only two left. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, my brother is a character. Parang I'm tired reaching out. And he seems to be happier alone. Even, he has several children. Kaya parang masama loob ko dun sa mga anak niya. Parang they're not doing anything to bring us closer to one another.
This is the same brother who didn't like what you were doing when you started.
Not so much. That one is in Chicago now.
Chicago now.
Yeah.
But you're okay na kayo?
Oh, yeah.
That's part of growing up.
No, because they also, like my father, during my first stint in Manila as a designer, I invited him to see my very, very first fashion show I did for the Red Cross at the Manila Hotel. And then when he saw my clothes being paraded, he cried and said, "Ito lang palang gusto na anak ko, bakit pinagkait ko na matagal?" Because he didn't want me to. He thought I was ungrateful that I chose another career.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, all of them, they're very, very proud of me.
I'm sure.
Of my achievements. Because more than any of them, I have more friends professionally and intimately.
How would you honor your wife?
Honor?
Your wife, yeah. How would you...
I honor her every day.
Yeah, how would you honor her in this interview? If she was to listen to this interview when we're all gone.
I can say that my family life helped me a lot in being what I am now. Because, if I didn't have my wife to account for things about me and what I'm doing, maybe I would have strayed along the way. But I love my children so much that, I produced one movie. Of course, it was a box office flop. But the movie world is full of temptation. And I soon realized that it's not for me. It's not for a family man.
Who are the other people that you would like to say thank you at the end of the day? If there are three more people that you would like to say thank you, apart from your father, your mother, and your wife, and your children, who would these people be?
One would be Ting Ting Cojuangco. She was so-called signature model of mine, and up to now, we're still very, very good friends. Who else? Hot and cold, Imelda Marcos.
Hot and cold? So, meron kayong ano, paano kayo aso't pusa?
No. She was a pain, and at the same time, parang ang laki din tulong ng association namin, because it was so prestigious once upon a time.
Uh-huh.
Here's one story that I will not want you to miss. During the height of the popularity of Mrs. Marcos, mm-hmm. when she was inviting all the VIPs from all over the world. In one of those visits, Robert Sakowitz, the lone of the Sakowitz in Texas, asked to have a meeting with me. And so I went to see him in his suite sa Intercon pa lang ang pinakamalaking hotel noon. And he offered me to work with him sa Texas to operate one of the parang wedding boutiques. I turned it down. Why? Because of Mrs. Marcos. Eh, kung siya lang hindi ko na maugaga, what more kung dadagdagong ko pa ng sakit ng ulo?
It's Texas.
And then when I discovered that I made the wrong move, I wrote him a very nice letter, but hindi na niya. You know what he told me when I turned him down? He said, "Mr. Espiritu, don't you realize that you're putting yourself in a very precipitous position? What if you wake up tomorrow and she no longer wants your staff? What will you do?" Natauhan ako, no? But it's too late. Kasi yung pagtsatsaga ako sa hirap na yun, it was powered also by my being nationalistic. Parang at that speed, I want to serve, to package her properly. How many years yun? Almost 20 years.
Tagal nun.
No?
So I think Ting, Imelda Marcos, hot and cold.
Who else? Lindy Loxin. For what I was able to absorb from him.
And lastly, you got into writing, you got into publishing, you got into...
No, I want to add this one.
Okay, go ahead, please.
I just shook hands with a deal, a very prominent jewelry company in Manila is signing me into a contract to help them propel their
business.
So I'll design and I'll promote
and and then you'll have your own design.
Yeah.
Wow.
So my name will be Cristian Espiritu for this company.
It will be in the billboard soon.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You can't wait. You cannot divulge the company yet.
Not yet.
Thank you so much for sharing your life here inside Martin's Man Cave, Sir Cristian Espiritu. Mabuhay ka, God bless you.
Thank you so much.
This has been the 67th episode of Martin's Man Cave, where we immortalize important people here in the Philippines for future generations to consume. My name is Martin Andanar. Thank you so much for listening. Again, you can download us for free. Go to iTunes, you can go to Podomatic, Spreaker, you can go to Stitcher, or you can just go straight to our website, podcast.ph. Thank you so much. Bye.
This podcast.ph presentation is supported by Martin Andanar's Homecast Studio and audio.ph.